Hey everybody, welcome back to another e-commerce unlocked podcast where we talk about all the stuff and cut the fluff about e-commerce today. We're excited to have Jane and Boris here with the Good For Company. I met these guys a couple of weeks ago at a networking event down in San Diego. Love their passion, love what they're doing, so I wanted to have them on the podcast with us today. So Jane and Boris, love for you guys to introduce yourselves. You're a unique guest that we have as being like a couple in business together, running an awesome business. So give us a quick intro to you guys on what you guys are doing, what the Good For Company is up to, and we'll get into it from there.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having us. It was definitely a pleasure meeting you and like so many other people at that event. So that was great. The Good For Company. So we specialize in high performance water filtration solutions. So everything from your kitchen sink to your showers and your entire house, really. We can facilitate, and we're insanely passionate about clean water. Who would have thought?
I've never met someone that was so passionate about water filtration. I mean, I love geeking out on like shipping boxes. I think water filtration passion, it's definitely a healthy thing. It's a great thing, but like your passion energy for it was just like mind blowing, and I love that. Like, how did you get into that passion of water filtration? I guess to start off with, was it you're like drink a dirty cup of water one day and you're like, I gotta clean this. I need to get a filter on this thing, or how did you guys like find this niche?
Well, it was kind of two part. I'll let Boris handle this. Just after I guess I make this comment, he was already in the home services space and he had started a contracting company. But at the same time, he was also starting a family. We were starting a family. And so it was like, you know, what are these water filtration systems? Why are they important when you're pregnant and all of a sudden you can't eat, you know, drink beer and eat pizza anymore? You really have to start whittling down and figuring things out. And so it was really Boris being in the business that he was in that kind of piqued my interest. And then we just started kind of diving into the topic, and I like to say it's a rabbit hole that we have yet to get out of. Like once I went, came out. So.
Yeah, I mean, basically, like Jane said, we had a big contracting company. We were doing plumbing and HVAC, and we were not selling these products. So we were strictly just doing the installation side. And we got this contract with this company that was doing a lot of water treatment. And, you know, as plumbers, we knew how to install it, right? But we had no idea what this thing does. So we would put it in for customers, and then you know they would ask us like, "Hey, so what does this do exactly?" And we, well, you know what? You should probably talk to your sales rep because I know, but I have no idea anything after that fact. So that is really what kind of got us interested in trying to understand what does it actually do, and you know. Over the last, I'd say, 15 years, more and more and more and more people are realizing that water treatment is necessary. It's one of those super underrated appliances in your house. Like, you have a water heater because you know you want to shower in hot water, warm water, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of elementary. But water treatment, nobody thinks about it. They don't think, oh, what is the water quality that I'm showering in? What is the water quality that I'm drinking? So it just goes on the back burner for most people.
Yeah, they're like, they really, you know, the conversation is always like, hard water, what is it doing to my pipes? Mm-hmm. And I hate this lime scale buildup. But outside lime scale buildup, like we understood what those, like what it did on a basic level, right? But taking it to the next level and understanding like, you know, the majority of chemicals that are in circulation right now weren't in circulation even 30, 40, 50 years ago. And so... Okay, so you have this influx of chemicals coming in, whether it's seeping in from the ground or from the air or, you know, even just the chlorine that they use to disinfect your water. What is that doing to your body? So that was really where I was like, what is it doing to my body? Why, you know, why are things the way that they are? So we just kind of, you know, after a contracting company that was in Canada, we sold that. We came to the States because I just couldn't deal with the cold anymore. And Morris frankly couldn't either, so he was down. So we moved to the States, and really at that point is when we decided, like, look, we don't want to just install these systems. We want to be able to sell them, but sell them in a way where people are very clearly understanding the problem, understanding what they're up against, understanding how it can impact your health. and what you can do to resolve it, and what is the best solution both for your goals, like your personal health and wellness goals, but also for your budget. So I venture to say we're still probably the only company, but when we first opened 6 years ago, almost seven, we definitely were the only company to take a really heavy educational approach to how we talk about water filtration. So if you look at our social, or if you look at like, you know, competitors, Culligan, for example, everybody knows the Culligan man. But if you look at the Culligan, like everything is just pushing product. Everything is just selling the product, but nobody's talking about the problem, how it's becoming worse, and how it is impacting our health. You know, water filtration is one of those things, like you can take all the vitamins, you can do all the skincare, you can have the best hair care products, whatever, but if you're not taking care of your water, the foundational part of every other wellness thing that you're doing, then, I mean, you're doing a huge disservice. I don't want to say you're wasting money, but you're just not completing the circle.
No. I can just see you guys, like Jane doing the Get Ready with Jane, like TikTok video in the morning, and instead of her doing like a skincare routine, it's more of her just like just drinking her like cup of water, like Get Ready with Jane, drink water. That's it. Like, I love that. She's going to film it right now. Let's go. That is such a good point that you don't think about.
It's funny thinking about content to film. I will say this is a big pain point in my personal part of the business, like the marketing, is because I'm like, okay, well, we talked about it, right? How do you make water filtration sexy? How do you make the topic of water sexy without talking about the scary stuff? So I don't know. We take an educational approach and try to do that.
No, that's a great way to do it. I mean, that is very, it's a strategic way to do it for sure. So from you guys coming, I mean, maybe Boris, more towards you, is you came from contractor, plumber, work, getting into more on the e-commerce side of things. How's that transition been for you as far as like style of work or maybe skill sets coming from those two industries and blending them together?
I mean, it's definitely been a big juggling act, but you know, I feel like I'm really good at adapting and I like learning new things and just really absorbing it all and just kind of taking a whole new way of thinking, right? Because it's completely different. It's polar opposite, right? E-com and, you know, plumber. And I did a lot of plumbing in customers' houses. I've been in, you know, tens of thousands of customers' houses in the past. So it's just interesting to kind of watch it all blend together.
That's awesome. So with you guys, Jane, sounds like you're doing more on the marketing side of things. With you guys being spouses running this company, how do you guys divvy up either workload, or how does that affect your relationship being spouse, coworkers, partners, all that mixed together?
So we get this question a lot, and in full honesty, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Papers have been sent. We get it. Okay, sorry.
So our working together happened so naturally, and there was never a conversation where we sat down and we're like, oh, okay, we're doing this together. And this, it just so happened to work out that way. And I think in working out that way, like Boris and I have such drastically different strengths, which is such a gift, because if we were both good at, you know, long-term vision, strategy, this and that, then I could see a lot of times, right, where you would be like, well, no, my vision is this, or my vision is
clashing.
This.
Sure.
But I respect his, like, I don't step on his toes and he doesn't step on mine type of thing. But of course, I mean, we're a constant bouncing board for each other. I think the problem that we are currently facing is like, okay, well, at what time of day is it appropriate to stop talking about work? So it's like, but I don't know, we're like partners in life, and we're partners in raising our family, and we're partners in business. And I think it's just really, it comes from a lot of respect for one another, you know, because there's no desire to be right. There's a desire to get it right. And that's a huge distinction. And I think that anybody considering working with their spouse or says, you know, I'm scared to do it, it's like, well, our coming together happened naturally, but if yours isn't natural and it's more of a conversation, then it is really like, do you trust me to make these decisions? You know, because even if Boris disagrees with me, or if I disagree with Boris, We gave each other the platform to say, hey, well, this is why I think this way. And like, let's talk through it. So there's no, you know, actually, before we got married, I worked for a husband and wife in construction, and it was the worst experience. I was like the child, and then they would like yell over me as the project manager into each other's offices to like do their bidding, you know? So,
oh my gosh.
So I think it's a lot of things combined, but it's really, I think the respect for one another is probably like first and foremost. And with any business partner, right? You can go into a business with a stranger or a friend, but if you don't respect them, it's not going to last very long.
Well, respect and trust, right? Yeah. You have to be able to trust the decision that you're pushing for, even if I can't maybe particularly see it in my head, that I trust that you see it that way in your head. And, and that worked on both sides of the spectrum for both of us in many different ways, that, you know, moves that I've made that were just amazing for us, and same thing for Jim.
No, my wife and I, my wife's in the hair industry. She's a hairstylist, and she has a hair extension company, and then we own a salon together as well. And I would say, granted, she runs more the day-to-day operations, and I'm more like the handyman kind of stuff on it. But when there's like a vision, when we're like doing stuff together, I would say my biggest like weakness of that is at work, or your 9-to-5, or when I'm like doing something else, I can go vent to my wife about it. But when I vent to my wife about my wife, that's not a good scenario.
Sounds like, oh, the boss lady, it is. Really?
She's like, I'm the boss lady. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm telling you about you.
New audience for when you're up.
So that, for me,
if you got to get it off your chest, you got to get it off
your chest. I think we can't talk about that. It's definitely like changed our relationship, I think, to make us stronger in a lot of ways, as well as you're like, everything's on the table. A lot of, you know, important decisions that affect your family and your business are kind of blend together, for sure. So it makes it a unique experience, but definitely similar situations. I've seen relationships get make or break kind of in some of these situations, because it is a constant, you know, you're in the trenches every day with each other, building and growing in so many different aspects of things. So I got some great advice of trust and respect.
Trust and respect, but, you know, also the stress, you know, I think what's also a little bit unique, not unique, I'm sure there's plenty of people, but is there's no, like, our problems are our problems together. So there's no, like, I come and vent, but he's already, you know, aware of the situation, like, venting to one another. But it is nice to have it.
No, that's good. Oh, there you go. Cute. So you guys have been doing this then for 6 years. What has kind of been the maybe milestones in that growth period of things? Like, from where you guys started, like, what's your next like ambitious goal that you guys are going for within the company? Or what does that look like for you guys, like trying to go into like retail or hit a certain spot on some metrics you're trying to hit on your website? Or what does that look like for you guys?
I think in a lot of ways, we're still trying to figure that out. I think that growing a business and seeing growth actually year over year throughout a pandemic, I think that, you know, we were just starting to catch our stride when all of that happened. And, you know, a lot of people feel this way, obviously, and I'm sure we would be a little bit further ahead, or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe we'd be out of business. Who knows, right? But I think what's really unique to what we're doing, so water filtration is typically very localized. Like, you reach out to a local company and whatever, but what I've been trying to do, what we've been trying to do from the very beginning, is grow a national brand. So do something where, you know, people are reaching out, even if they have somebody down the street, but they trust us. They know that we did the research. They know that we only carry products that, like, I 150% stand behind and use all around my house myself, right? And so I think it's really building that national presence, building out our referral, really building out like the organic side, you know, things that can't be taken away, no matter, you know, if the ad budget is running out or it's an election year, which, good luck advertising at the end, suck. So if you're not doing, you know, putting down the footwork from the very beginning, Like, I always imagined us to be 100 times bigger than we were. And the decisions that we were making were always based on that 100 times bigger than we are type of goal. And making business, sometimes it is a little bit of fake it till you make it. But you're authentic. And if you are, you know, if you're open to the road changing, then there's a lot of really cool things that can happen. So I think for us, it's, you know, growing the national presence for the e-com store, but then for the also for the local business, our company is very franchise friendly. So we are moving in the direction of building out all of that framework. And then hopefully that's the future.
That's a fun one. I've not heard of, so you're going to e-com and then having a franchise segment of it is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the route? Interesting. Yeah.
So e-com started, e-com would be, right? But e-com started to be able to fulfill, you know, whole home water filtration. It, you know, it does cost
a pretty penny,
right?
Yeah.
And if you're not a homeowner and you're not willing to make those kind of upgrades, or you just don't have the money, you know, gosh, budget is such a big deal nowadays. And I mean, it should be always, but right now for many, many reasons. And so it was like, we wanted to be able to facilitate the in-between, right? So it's like, what, you have either nothing or you have a whole home water filtration system. So e-com was born out of that, like, we want to serve everybody at every price point and also at every stage of their life. Because maybe you start with a shower filter with us when you're 20. And then when you're 27, you happen to get married and buy a house, or just buy a house. You don't have to get married. Not, okay? You don't have to do all that.
Inclusive. We love it.
But whatever it is, you know, we're hoping that you're a brand that you can really grow with.
That's awesome.
But my point about the whole home is that, you know, there's still those local locations, right? So if we're focused on building out a brand that is recognizable and that is trusted, and then you have a local good for office in your city, then it makes it easy to, I just feel like the franchising is just kind of like a natural step for us.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is such an interesting model.
That makes sense.
Oh yeah, go for it. Boys, tell me more about that. That seems, I haven't talked to someone doing this franchise model. That's very interesting. Excited to see how that rocks for you guys and have you guys on in a couple of months or whatever when that launches and see how that's going. That seems like a really cool model.
I'm not going to lie. It's 18 to 24 months and we'll be in a good spot.
All right. Excited to hear about that. That's awesome. That's fun. Maybe talk a little bit about your guys' current strategy on it. Jane, you kind of talked about as far as like marketing. Seems like you're pushing a lot of your marketing efforts towards education and towards like affiliate referral, word of mouth, organic marketing. Is that kind of, are you guys very heavy then on that side versus like paid ads, or what is that a typical like acquisition process look for you guys?
Yeah. So over the last 6 years, you know, especially being education focused, we've realized how many people truly don't understand what is in their water. They're like, it smells chlorine-y, sure. Would I like it not to smell that way? Sure. But all of the rest of the things, it's just not really talked about. And so focusing on the education on our social is one thing. And we actually, social is a big converter for us. We get a lot of people that end up on the shop and end up purchasing and or booking calls with us to purchase whole home systems that we then ship to them. I just lost my train of thought.
Ecom, whole home services.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is a model. Sorry about that. Okay. But the education process can take really long, right? This is a really long haul. Here, you came across my post, and for the first time, you heard of what Chromium 6 is, and so you start your educational journey, and I hope we're a big part of that and a resource for that. But there's also a lot of folks that have already woken up to this. You know, you have this whole biohacker community, and like before biohacking was a, you know, catchphrase, like people were already trying to figure, you know, these things out. So for me, the organic side is, hey, we're going to bring you along this educational journey. But then there's, you know, on the referral side, there's so many people that are in ancillary businesses, right, where they don't necessarily compete with us, but we are such a natural fit. So we work with a lot of functional specialists. We work with a lot of Eastern medicine specialists. We work with hydration specialists. So there's, you know, water is not just water. Water is, you have the chemical component, right? And you want to take out the heavy metals and the chemicals and stuff like that. But then you also have the hydrating component where now that we've cleared up your water, is your water at its absolute best to be able to hydrate your body? So then we have people who are specialists in that aspect. And so, you know, we're just really building that referral network, the thing that, you know, once you create that relationship, it doesn't cost you anything except for, you know, if you have a referral program and you pay a referral bonus of some sort, which is always a good idea, right? But you can't, that can't be taken away. And I think a big lesson actually was when we first got into e-com in the middle of 2020. And that was the election year. And it was a big wake up call for us. It was like, okay, so we killed it with, I mean, it was like 6 million that year.
Just wow, great.
I mean, it was outrageous. Okay. It was like just straight up to the moon, you know? But then with all of that, you're like, but those are paid ads. So if we don't keep putting it in, nothing is going to come, right? So basically my main focus is building our reputation and building us, you know, positioning us so that if and when we do paid ads, it's a big bonus, but it's not.
Got it. That's amazing. That's a great strategy and very unique. I didn't understand how much elections affect, like, I guess, water treatment. That's interesting.
Well, not water treatment, but advertising. And then
got everybody,
so, you know, whoever's listening that has maybe a company that they just started or you're using, and there's nothing wrong with using paid ads, definitely, especially when you get started to get the word out there. But, like, you have to keep these social things in mind because, the election and then everybody starts pushing their agenda and then all the mom and pop shops that don't ever advertise, start advertising Friday, you know, Cyber Monday.
They just dilute everything, right? So
you're paying a lot, but anyways, so just a lot to consider.
No, I'm not the marketing guru. I'm the supply chain guy. Usually when Russell's on the podcast with me, he knows more about that stuff, but that is very interesting. I didn't realize elections affected advertising. It would definitely make sense. Everyone pushing agendas and stuff. That's very interesting. Yes. With you guys like growing in this way, have there been any like good tools or resources that have helped you guys get to this point? I mean, Boris, with you coming from like being a plumber, going to e-com, that's a huge career change. Did you guys have like a mentor in that space coming here? Or are there like tools you guys are just Google is your best mentor? Or maybe what's some advice for someone getting into the game of some tools or resources you've used to help scale your business?
I mean, honestly, a lot of it has just been like self-learning,
trying
there, looking at YouTube, how are other people doing it? What does somebody have to say about this? Just a lot of trial and error and taking a risk. That's honestly how we did it.
In the beginning, I would say that now we put a lot of smart people in our ears and podcasts and different books those are our mentors because the mentors in this industry, I'll be honest with you, they're still really, really old school. Like actually right now, the product Puronics, their head office sends me their new sales reps for me to teach them about marketing, about sales.
Interesting. About
these things. Yeah. And so it started happening last year and I've already had 3 or 4 people that I've had conversations with this year, which kind of lends itself to the whole point where I'm like, okay, well, franchising is definitely going to be a thing. Like it's totally a possibility. Look at how many things are big question marks for folks, but if we can handle the marketing, if we can handle the brand building and all of that, and you just have to be able to like go and facilitate it in a proper way, then it's really helpful. So in terms of having somebody to rely on, we didn't really have that, but it is a lot of trial and error and it's just, I don't know, listen to your gut, do a head check and then give it a shot.
I was talking to my wife about this actually last night, of how I feel like there's all these gurus out there. There's so much noise. Everyone's trying to get noticed through TikTok, through Instagram. There's so much noise, and a lot of it contradicts each other. I have like some fan favorites of like, okay, I like listening to this kind of person. I like listening to this kind of stuff, and maybe more preferences. But at the end of the day, like, we're all just kind of semi-lost people, I think. And we share stuff that maybe worked for us. And I think there's like those truths in that. But then the day, like you're saying, like that gut check, it's like, if you're trying to do something that no one's done before, then you got to do stuff that no one's done before. Like, no one's going to have those answers if you're going to build it that way, or you have a different vision.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, oh, like, it's like, how does Elon Musk do Elon Musk? I'm like, Elon Musk is as Elon Musk. Like, I don't know who he's talking to come up with these shenanigans and whatnot. So I think it's, yeah, just like your gut check, having your vision, being dedicated to it, and rock and roll. And it seems like that's exactly what you guys are doing, is like having this vision, making water filtration sexy. I mean, I remember hearing you talk, Jane, at the event a couple months ago, and just being like, dang, I got to look. I'm on a well out here. I live in like 2.5 acres, and I'm like, drinking my water. I'm like, do I filter? I have no idea. Some guys put a well in the dirt. I'm like, am I drinking dirt water? I don't know. I got to look into that. Like, you're passionate on that. Yeah, you know that. But yeah, so just like this, that passion, I think, comes off, and just being like organically yourself is such a huge marketing play in itself. So excited to see as you guys continue to grow and make water sexy. You know, I think there's a huge play for that. So congrats on where you guys are at right now, and where you're going. If you guys were to maybe say like start your business now in 2024, what's some advice you would give someone starting like a business like this year, or some of those key takeaways that you guys have learned over the past couple of years being in the e-com space?
Well, for me personally, that's a hard question to answer. I'll be honest, because it's like, once you get down the path, like, we're both really naturally entrepreneurs. Like, this isn't something that we fell into and learned how to be business minded. Like, I don't think Boris gave himself enough credit. He is a natural born salesperson, but he does sales in the most authentic sort of way. So you hear him talking and he's explaining with the technical knowledge behind it. You don't feel like you're getting sold. You feel like somebody's there holding your hand, giving you step by step by step, you know? But so we're both natural in that kind of way. But I think that sometimes the mistake that a lot of entrepreneurs make in the beginning is they ask too many people their advice. And when you're letting so many different people who are not walking the same path as you, who frankly probably don't even have the balls to even consider walking the same path as you, that you're not always going to get the feedback that you're wanting. So your friends and your family, I'm sure to a degree, will be supportive and all of that. But I think in the beginning, instead of seeking their approval and saying, oh, look at what I'm doing, I'm this entrepreneur and I'm, you know, stepping out on my own, is find other people, other smart people, podcasts, books, audio books. Like, I love books, but I can't read them. I do not have the time. Actually, I just cleared out a whole box of books and I was like putting each one away. And I was like, this is embarrassing because I don't think to even have to be. But listen more and rely more on people who are doing better than you, bigger than you at the moment, and not so much on your immediate community. And I feel like that's sometimes a little bit counter to what people hear, you know, oh, your friends and family, they should be supportive, blah, blah, blah. They'll be supportive, but they're not going to be the ones that are going to help you grow. And they're not going to be the ones that are going to help, you know, say necessarily like, oh yeah, you're making all the right choices, you know?
Yeah, that's honestly the best advice. Like, be around people that are doing things, you know, whatever they're doing, they're out trying to, you know, improve themselves, start a business, just go-getters, right? If you're around Debbie Downers, like, they're going to bring you down. If you hear a bunch of negative stuff about your, you know, potential idea or whatever, you know, if you hear it too many times, you start believing it, right? But if you're around the right crowd and they're like, hey, that's a great idea, yeah, you should definitely do it, da-da-da-da-da, then that's just going to get you on the up and up, rather than
if it's an actually great
idea. If it's an actually great
idea. Don't hang out with idiots. That's what we're saying. All right. So
I think really just in the beginning, like, look, it's not going to be pretty. Like, I think entrepreneurship, everybody claims to be an entrepreneur. I'm so sorry, but if you're a solopreneur and your whole business is on Instagram, shout out, because I can't do that, okay? I've had 600 followers on my personal Instagram for like 5 years, okay? So I'm no pro, but I think that you have to understand that there's going to be a lot of times where not only are you kicked to the floor, but then somebody takes your face and like pushes it further and further into the ground. And if you don't have that belief in yourself, almost delusional belief, where like, all right, that sucked and that was not pleasant, but it's not going to break my spirit. It's just something that comes with the territory. And if you become okay with that one notion, you'll survive and you'll keep going.
That is great. I think that is something that definitely gets overlooked. Like, yeah, social media makes it sound all rosy. Like, look, I just found this product on Alibaba. I resold it and I made $1 million. Like, that's like the vibe of things. I feel like I'm like, if that was that easy, I'd be doing that.
Business entrepreneurship is 5% glory, 95% headache, right? And and that's just the reality of it, you know?
Yeah.
Take that 95% of a headache and know how to handle it in a way where it's not going to destroy you on a daily, because you're always putting out some sort of, you know, quote unquote fire.
Yeah.
I think that's an important one to keep in mind.
Yep. There's always fires to put out. We're entrepreneurs/firemen is kind of part of the job title, I feel, on doing that stuff. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. It's been so fun. I love just this dynamic of you guys and the energy you guys do. I hope you guys get to do like a TED Talk soon. I just feel like you guys' passion and stuff and knowledge of it. Like, I legit wanted to sit here and listen to you guys talking about water. Like, I have 1.5 million water questions. I'll probably follow up with you guys on just water as a whole. That is so interesting. I love you guys' passion. Definitely is like tangible and motivating at the same time. So love that. We'd like to kind of close our podcast with like a final question, asking you guys, if you guys were to start a new business now, what would it be and why? I mean, maybe water filtration is like, dude, this is the best industry, we're sticking with this. Or is there another product or something that you think that's hot or be interesting to kind of dabble in?
Well, Boris, he's dabbled in a few things like crypto and so on. But in terms of business, you know what? Speaking of all the ideas, okay, the famous ones making $80,000 every hour basically is reselling courses. So it's really, according to social media, reselling courses is like the thing. Who cares if you even have a course? You just resell it. And that's it.
Honestly, you could, the water course lady, honestly, that could even be it. I mean, your passion for it, I mean, you definitely could. Education is definitely a hot commodity right now. That is a great point.
But right now, we're so head focused into the water filtration, actually just improving water filtration and making it more accessible to people is already business enough. So it's sometimes hard
to
think what else we would be doing.
Yeah, I think it's like a financial branch to make water treatment more accessible for people, giving them better deals, lower interest rates, just like a more, I don't know.
Like removing the financial barrier that a lot of people have. Like, they might want this and they completely agree with it. But yeah, I'd agree with that.
Like a consumer lending, something that's more lenient than your traditional banks to really make it accessible, a human right. Everyone should have access to this. And if they can't afford it, then hey, these, you know, financial institutions that will grant you the money or whatnot. So that's something I would like to do in the near
future. Yeah, I love that. You guys are definitely, you're kicking butt. That's awesome. I love your guys' minds. I love the creativity, thinking outside the box and seeing what you can do with a water company. I mean, I think this kind of highlights, no matter what industry you're in, as pure as water is, you can be very creative and like just a natural resource like that, and how creative and like grinding you guys are at just in that industry, just applying that to your own business, being creative. Again, I don't know of the playbook of from being a plumber to then being into e-commerce to then starting a franchise to doing like a finance company. Like, there's not a playbook for that. I mean, you guys are definitely just like coming up with, seeing the problem and finding those solutions. And that's that's amazing. I'm excited for that course and that you guys come out with about teaching that path, Mabel. You know, I mean, that's amazing. But yes, thank you so much for being on. We love chatting with you guys today. Hope to have you guys on here shortly again, hear about all the new things you guys are doing in the near future. It sounds awesome.
Thank you. We're really excited. Thank you so much for having us.